We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Monday. Thanks for being with us. The Solomon Brothers Diamond text line's open, 404-741-0929. It's never too early to get your AMA questions in. We always close the show out at 1:40 with an Ask Me Anything segment. We had a good, weird Ask Me Anything segment on Friday, where I might have revealed too much about myself.
You did.
And then I doubled down on it on Saturday.
Yeah, you did.
Revealed even more about myself. And here I am on Monday with everybody looking at me funny in the office.
Oh, no, I'm over it. Right.
You might be. Yeah. I got some funny looks on the elevator up this morning. People worried about my personal hygiene.
Like,
so
they stand on the opposite side of the elevator when you get on?
Yeah, exactly. You can just tell the way they look at you. You can feel the disgust on their face. So we'll get to an AMA at 1:40, as always, all right? Coming up at 12:40, we're going to play a game that we're calling Snit or No Snit. Wendy's going to read us a handful of quotes. We'll have to decide whether or not Brian Snitker actually said them. Because you know how Snit talks.
One thing I saw yesterday?
It's a long season.
Well, it was yesterday, and something happened where I think they called a foul ball or something, a pass ball, and like they changed it, which like how fast Nick got to the top of the stairs when they go out there. I was like, look at him! I mean, it was a meaningless play, but still, I mean, of course, everybody knew it was a foul ball. I was like, oh. Yes, Nick. Go get him.
Was he moving faster than Deshaun Tate when he got up?
Oh, come on. Y'all leave Tate alone, man.
Why?
Because he can't help that he's slow.
You're right. He can't help that he's slow.
Yeah.
He could have not told us that he was fast.
And that's why your mom used to say you're a hard head, make a soft mind.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard headed.
Hey, speaking of Deshaun Tate, Mike Conti and myself are going to be broadcasting live from 7 to 10 on Thursday, bringing you the NBA draft. You can join 92.9 The Game and the Atlanta Hawks at State Farm Arena starting at 7 for a 2019 draft party again. Mike Conti, me, and Deshaun Tate broadcasting live. Space is limited, so get your tickets now. For event info, head over to 92.9thegame.com/events.
Little fly ball hit toward the gap. That ball is going to get down! It's down! The Braves have won it! Bedlam at the battery! Atlanta comes back!
Phenomenal call there from Chip Carey on Fox Sports South. That was Friday night's game.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Brian McCann walk-off, the comeback win on Friday night. The Braves, now, again, they didn't win on Saturday, should have won on Saturday, but lost in the fashion that they tend to always lose.
Yeah, exactly.
On Saturday, so it was a very Braves weekend. They come from behind in a game they had no business winning on Friday. They blow a save on Saturday, and then they blow the Phillies out on Sunday. The Braves are the best offense in baseball right now. They have been in the month of June.
Yes.
It's actually not close. They're ahead of the next best offense in baseball by an entire run per game. That's how much better they are than everyone else right now offensively. But that was a fun moment on Friday night, didn't it? I know, Randy, we got a chance to talk about it on Saturday on our Saturday show up at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. But that was one of those moments that felt like it could be a special season.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing, and we've been waiting so long for it to be special. And what I mean by that is, I'm still not going to give you, they're a year ahead and all that. Miss me with that, okay? All right, they went out there, they did their job. But I know that when they first put that stadium over there, and what's it going to be called now? Truist, whatever. Well, anyways, to watch that place with all that stuff that they have going on out there, that's why I think the All-Star game here is going to be phenomenal. And for them to be putting that place to use, what I mean by that, bringing the fans over there, and they're not just over there for all the bells and whistles of the battery. They're here to watch your squad. I think that's one of the biggest things for me as far as making it special.
Yeah, you heard guys talk about that throughout the weekend, too. Was maybe the first time at SunTrust that it had that atmosphere.
Yeah.
They set an attendance record this weekend, the most Most three-game attendance that they've ever had. It makes sense. It was against the Phillies, so obviously it was an important three games. But it also has a lot to do with the way that they're playing, the way that they're winning, and the guys that they have doing it. Like, right. If you don't think Ronald Acuna and Freddie Freeman and Ozzie Albies and the exciting young player, Austin Riley, are adding a little bit of extra juice to what's going on in that building, then you're crazy.
Yeah.
Because people are falling in love with these guys. It's great.
And it's easy, too, because you always talk, when you got a young superstar like Ronald Acuna, I mean, and he is just that. He is a young, uprising superstar who maybe 3 years down the road will be possibly called the best player in ball. I mean, he has that kind of potential.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to like this team because they're fun. They're so much fun, especially when you see the walk-offs and all this, and Ronald with it. I mean, you just love that part about it. And then you got them old Orner vets that probably, when they do have an off day or if it's early in the day on game day, that don't be wanting to hit at. Like yesterday, probably afternoon, that early game after a night game, everybody, Brian McCann was in there like, hey, man.
Turn Ron, the music down.
Hey, Ron, turn the damn music down. Turn the music down.
Chill out, man.
Yeah, turn it down, yeah.
That was one of the fun parts Friday, too, was when he hit the walk-off.
Yeah.
And then Acuna runs up to, like, the scrum. Everybody's bouncing up and down and celebrating. Acuna runs in and tosses the Gatorade on him.
Yeah.
And then he's holding the Gatorade tub up like it's a trophy.
Yeah.
And then McCann, they hit him with the Gatorade, and he doesn't shy away from it.
He loves it.
He welcomes it.
But it's been a long time since he's been in a situation like that. But I'm sure that, you know, this team, and we said in our Saturday show, it is a great mixture of young players and vets. I think it's a perfect kind of mixture. And once, you know, guys like Brian McCann and others move on, you're still going to have that more veteran of Freddie, who's, you know, he is without a doubt your quintessential franchise type player. And I mean, I think he's a leader of this baseball team, but it's not a real vocal, outgoing type of leadership.
That was Brian McCann's first walk-off since 2015, so probably first Gatorade bath in 4 years.
Yeah.
Good for him. That was great. Just a wonderful moment from Friday, an unfortunate moment on Saturday.
Runner goes. Pitch is hammered. It's hit off Newcomb. The ball will ricochet off the netting and into the Phillies' dugout. Where did it get Sean Newcomb?
The head.
That ball was hit so hard, it deflected off Sean Newcomb and on the fly flew over the Phillies' dugout, off the netting, and bounced into it. And everybody meets on the mound to check on the Braves' pitcher. Concussion testing. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy moment on Saturday.
Yeah.
Scary. I've never seen a ball bounce like that off of a pitcher's head.
And what Chip said, where they hit him, because you couldn't tell at first where he hit him, because the way he turned his body, I thought it got him in the back.
Right.
But then the way it ricocheted, I said, don't ricochet off backs like that.
Nope.
It ricochets off noggins. And that thing took off. You were telling me about something in the hat, like the padding?
Well, because you know, you got a hat on right now. So you know the part that like curls under and is like the little sweat guard?
Yeah.
Well, in a fitted hat, it wraps around all the way in the back,
right?
And what they said was it must have hit like right on the sweat guard part of it just to give you a slight extra bit of padding. Because if that thing hits just on the wool part of the hat, I mean, that's right on your skull.
Yeah.
Or it hits lower and doesn't hit any hat. So because Sean Newcomb said he wasn't, he wasn't even really woozy. He knew where he was. He knew what his name. Because a hit like that, man, you get knocked out sometimes.
Yeah, you saw the batter, how he was reacting running down the line to first base. Like, I mean, that's some serious stuff right there. And when you talk about baseball and players and pitchers get hit in the face, and when you see it, I don't care if it's not even your team. When you see a guy get hit in the face with a baseball coming that fast back at him, man.
Yeah.
You always feel for him.
So the good news is that Newcomb seems to be okay. The bad news is that he was pitching well.
Yeah.
Could have stayed on the mound a little bit longer and maybe made more of a case for himself to get back into the starting rotation. I have to think maybe they give him one more shot.
I would hope so.
Before Dallas Keuchel arrives. Now, Dallas Keuchel did pitch on Saturday in AA. He talked about his performance afterwards.
I felt like breaking stuff, change up work. We're a little inconsistent at first. I was a little antsy out there. Adrenaline was a little bit more than last time. So once I hone that in, I should be good. Yeah.
11 hits Dallas Keuchel gave up in a AA game.
But they weren't hard hit, though.
No, they were soft hits.
They were soft hits, yeah.
Yeah.
They were soft hit balls.
The probability of the balls getting hit. Making outs. I don't know. I'm trying to make the statistical argument that I heard someone else make earlier. I don't know.
Let's go back to 10 o'clock hour. And maybe you were right in this. Maybe he was just out there working on something.
Maybe.
You know, this don't really count. Let me see what this does. And it's fine.
What I like there is he said he was fired up. There was more adrenaline.
Yeah, man.
And once he got the adrenaline under control, then he pitched better.
Yeah, Mississippi do that to you, man. Mississippi's a good place, man.
Yeah, it is.
Nice place.
You never know. You get playing for the Mississippi Braves.
You know what I'm saying? You never know, man.
Oh, he talked more after the game, too.
I'd like to be going with the big club, but, you know, we'll see. We'll wait and see, and I'll probably talk to Alex and George, some of the guys and the training staff in Atlanta, and then assess and go from there.
I just want to see him soon. I'm not worried about what happened in Mississippi.
Okay.
He's been in the major leagues for a long time.
A very long time.
We just need him to be able to throw enough innings and have his arm not get hurt. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get better if he needs to get better, if he needs to sharpen up. He's not going to sharpen up anywhere but here. So I'll get him up here and get him into the rotation and get moving, because the sooner we get him up here, the sooner we can make decisions about other guys.
Right. I think that, yeah, just like that, because once he's up here, you know, does it solidify things as far as your pitching lineup?
Well, it does if he pitches well.
What I'm saying, what the hell are you going to do with him?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. He's here now. You done gave him 13 mil. But you going to, I mean, he got two bad strokes. You getting rid of him?
Well, no, not
you gonna send him to Gwinnett?
Not two, but I mean, at a certain point, I don't think you can send him to Gwinnett.
Yeah, I know.
But at a certain point.
Send him back to Mississippi?
Rome?
He
was good in Rome. Send him back to Rome. Yeah. No, I mean, look. This is the elephant that no one wants to discuss. The reality or the possibility that he might not be great.
What was my first text for you afterwards?
Hopefully it doesn't suck.
Hopefully it doesn't suck.
And I'm with you. I hope he doesn't suck, too.
Yeah, because that just would not be a good look.
But if he does, just because you paid him $13 million doesn't mean you have to let him play. Does it? I mean, he gets a certain amount of time.
How much time is that?
I don't know.
Oh. Oh, I mean, the way you said it, like, you know how much time, how many more games
I don't have these answers. I just know that at some point, if Dallas Keuchel isn't good, which I don't anticipate happening.
Right.
Feel like we all maybe should stop talking about it, speaking it into existence and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, if he's bad, then you just move on. All right, dang. Here's $13 million free dollars. Thanks for coming and hanging out.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Sweet beard.
You and your beard.
Yeah.
You and your beard, get going.
Now, ideally, he just pitches great, solidifies the starting rotation, go to the playoffs, beat the Dodgers, go to the World Series, and have a parade. That's what we're looking for.
From a mental standpoint, I was as good as I've ever been. I never let myself get ahead of myself. I never thought about what would happen if I won. I wanted to execute every shot. I was proud of myself to stay in it, to slow my thinking down, and really focus on what I was doing and not let my mind wander at all.
Gary Woodland, U.S. Open champion at Pebble Beach.
Adds his name
to a pretty impressive list of golfers that have won the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson.
Well, I mean, you can say that about every major, Andy.
True.
Yeah.
But I mean, just especially at that course is even generally an even better list.
How surprised were you, Brian? And I know you'll tell me in my ear. How surprised you about how the weather cooperated the whole time?
I'm surprised. It doesn't normally happen like that, especially June in Pebble Beach. Like, you're going to get a day or two where you get some rain, you get some wind. It's just kind of nasty, because that's the thing that makes Pebble so difficult is in calm conditions like this, especially Thursday and Friday where it was a little bit soft as well. Like, you're talking about the best golfers in the world.
Right.
They're going to be able to score on the. Now, luckily, it toughened up a little bit on Saturday and Sunday, so you weren't seeing 65s and 66s.
But you still saw some
shots made.
Exactly.
No, I was surprised because, you know, usually when they have tournaments there, that's one of the things that they can rely on is bad weather. It was a fun U.S. Open. It was a little bit frustrating on Sunday that only Koepka came after him. Kind of everybody else dwindled. I thought Justin Rose would put up a fight. He dwindled. I was hoping, because I picked Rory, I hoped Rory double bogeyed the second hole and took himself out of it. So there wasn't a whole lot, but there was enough from Koepka. Koepka came after him to where Woodland had to win it. Woodland had to fend him off and make some shots on the back nine, and he did.
I mean, you're talking about the chip on 17, and then, I mean, the way he ended it. Of course, he didn't need the birdie, but just because he was like, you know what? Take this.
Might as well. Let me win by three strokes.
Take this.
Let me nail this birdie. By the way, this hour brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. It was fun watching Gary Woodland, who had never done that before, never been in that moment before, like actively have to try to keep himself calm.
Because
you could see it.
You could see he's like, oh, hold on.
Let me breathe.
Because you, I mean,
let me stay in the moment.
The guy, it was his first tournament win when he's had the lead. That's crazy. You've had the lead all these holes, and yet, for some reason, just like he said in that clip, try to finish it. Got to finish it.
He was 0 for 7 with 54 hole leads in his career. So cool. Good for Gary Woodland. Now, it doesn't do a lot for the intrigue of golf. I mean, Gary Woodland, I bet you a lot of people had never heard of until this weekend.
More likely.
But he balled out, man. He won. He played very well, and now his name is on that trophy forever.
Showing well here this week at Pebble Beach. The kiss has happened. The kiss has happened.
Great day.
That was when Koepka kissed his girlfriend after the round. So
he did kiss her.
He didn't. Oh, that was before the round. He didn't give her the cold shoulder like he did. But that's probably why he didn't win, though.
We were having fun with that, and I don't think we were together yet. We were just sitting in.
We were dating.
Yeah, we were dating in. And I remember that when that came up, I'm telling you right now, I wonder what that conversation was like. He made sure that he gave him some sugar. Was it more like the internet trolls and all that getting on him?
No,
or was it
her.
The fact that she just
It was her.
Okay.
But here's the thing, though. You have to wonder. Because whatever happened then, the conversation, she won. Because he kissed her before the round on Sunday.
I mean.
But I wonder if he comes back with another argument because he didn't kiss her before the PGA Championship and he won damn near $2 million that day. Yesterday, he did kiss her, and then he didn't win the U.S. Open.
Oh, she ain't got no more kisses.
I don't think she is
either. Nah, she ain't got no more kisses.
If athletes are as superstitious as we think that they are.
Nah, she ain't got no more sugar.
There's no way. He can't ever kiss, maybe ever even again. They might have to break up.
Here's the thing. Coming from a married man that was in that role right there, your wife, your girlfriend, whatever, she should know the routine and let it go.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't kiss you before games, and I'm always balling. Don't come to me wanting no sugar before, you know, just... You know what I'm saying? But they'd be so sensitive about, you know, breaking routines. I got a routine here.
Yeah, don't mess up the
don't
rhythm.
Don't mess it up. Don't mess it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just get all upset.
I'll tell you this. When he's in the final group at the British Open next month, which he probably will be because he's the best golfer in the world right now.
She can get no sugar.
You not know.
Nope.
They're not kissing in Northern Ireland. She might not even be allowed to come.
Yeah, hey, baby.
You got to go to regular Ireland and watch this thing. I'm going to Northern Ireland. What is it? The Republic of Ireland? What's the other one? There's two Irelands. I didn't know that. I just found that out.
That's where your people from, right?
They're from the other Ireland.
Okay.
The regular one. Yeah. Not Northern Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Geography here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. We'll come back and get into a couple different NBA stories. Anthony Davis' trade happened over the weekend. What does it mean for the Hawks? I think it actually means a lot for the Hawks. We'll tell you why coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael. The Solomon Brothers down at text lines open, 404-741-0929. Follow us on Twitter as well, Randy Mac, at RandyMac81. I'm at TBM929. Give me a follow. I'll give you a shout-out. That easy. Coming up in 20 minutes, the debut of a brand-new game show here on the Midday Show. Snit or no snit? Wendy's going to come in here, read us some quotes. We have to decide whether or not Brian Snitker actually said them. And if he did, we'll play the audio. If he didn't, well, we'll just laugh about how it very easily could have been something that Brian Snitker said. So we'll get into that coming up in 20 minutes. We'll get back into the trending topics of the day at the 1 o'clock hour, top of the 1 o'clock hour as well. A lot going on with the Braves back at it tonight. The Mets in town, three more games at home, and then the Braves hit the road for 10 games in 10 days. And a lot of divisional games coming up for the Braves as well before the All-Star break comes around. They kick next week off with the Cubs in Chicago, which you said it earlier, and I agree, is another one of those check-in moments.
Mm-hmm.
And this weekend against the Phillies was great. You passed the test with flying colors, I would say.
Yeah.
And the way you're hitting the baseball right now is very exciting. But you keep it up. You got to keep it up. You're headed in a great direction right now. And it's going to be impossible to keep scoring at this rate. We understand that. It's not going to score 8 runs a game. But the longer they can do it, the more fun it'll be. But you've also got a lot of divisional opponents coming up, too, so you can distance yourself from the rest of those guys. So we'll get back into that as the show goes on. Some big news from the NBA over the weekend, and I think that there are Hawks implications here with the NBA draft on Thursday. The Hawks currently have picks number 8, number 10, and number 17 in the first round, and 3 picks in the second round as well. We know that they're not going to make all those picks. Travis Schlenk said, directly over the weekend, it's no secret that we're trying to package picks to move up and make a different selection. How much do you think what the Lakers did over the weekend with the Pelicans, trading the number 4 pick as well as a couple other guys to get Anthony Davis back, how much do you think that helps the Hawks out now with the Pelicans having the number 1 pick and the number 4 pick in the draft?
Well, it gives them an opportunity to get up to that 4 position because New Orleans is not trading with Atlanta for nothing. You know what I'm saying? There's no assets to get that number 4 pick. But now, I'm sorry, as far as what would you get back from the 4th? Because there's no player that you can throw in and all that. I think just straight up 8, 10, 10 or 17, something like that, pick them up the 4 is the only way. But I don't think that, you know, the Hawks had nothing the Lakers wanted. The Hawks have nothing the Lakers wanted for that number four spot.
Well, they didn't want any players.
Exactly.
And I know it's always fun when we talk about trades the Hawks could make. People throwing players in there. It's pretty nice that Travis Schlenk, because we understand it seems pretty clear what he's trying to do. They're trying to build through the draft, and he's trying to basically get rid of everybody that was here before he got here. He wants all the young guys that he's drafting and whatnot. Torian Prince was the guy that was here when he got here. It seemed pretty clear that what Torian's role was not what Torian's role became, and Travis moved him. So it was another nice example of him being able to move a guy out that was here when he inherited the team, did the same thing with Dwight Howard, did the same thing with Dennis Schroeder. And I assume eventually, whether it's the contract runs out or he's able to make a trade, he'll do the same thing with Kent Bazemore. But you're right. I don't think that there is a player that you can throw in there that sweetens the pot. The best assets that the Hawks right now have that are movable, and what I mean by movable is Trae Young's not going anywhere, John Collins is not going anywhere. The best assets they have that they would be willing to move are draft picks.
That's it.
And you got to find a team that would want to do it. Now, the rumor was the Knicks at three. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. Still had a hard time believing that.
I cannot believe that the Knicks would move out of three.
Right.
Yeah, that would be the most Knick thing ever, moving 3-8.
Well, and I think, too, if that ever was going to happen, it would have been on the assumption that the Knicks knew that they were getting Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
Kevin
Durant's
not going anywhere.
But you don't think he's leaving?
I don't think so. Oh. Or at least it complicates things.
Okay.
Now you probably need that number three pick even more than you would have if you had that verbal agreement with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, because here's the thing with KD. More likely, he's going to miss next year. A lot of people think that. I don't think he is. I think he'll come back. But at the same time, you sign a 4-year deal and not a 5-year deal if you go take the max. You're going to have him 3 years.
Well, I mean, if I was the Knicks, I would do it.
Yeah, of course.
It's just a matter of whether or not Kevin Durant is going to do it now.
No.
And it by all indication that you're hearing, just preliminary, you know, this all could change before free agency gets here in the beginning of July, but that Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson both want to remain in Golden State.
Does KD want to be in Golden State, or is this injury trapping him there?
Probably more of the second.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Everything we heard before that was that KD wanted his own, you know, spread his wings a little bit,
right.
have his own spot, his own squad, and get credit for being the main guy.
The lead dog.
Because right now it's been Steph Curry's team, which, again, I wouldn't care about that. If this show is the number one show and we all are winning and making money off of it and they call it the Randy McMichael show, I don't care. Great, no. Perfect. We're all eating and having fun.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a different mentality.
Because people always look at him, and, of course, we know why. I don't understand why. I think if he had won the championship before he came to Golden State, it might not have been as bad. But because he's so talented. And then you lost to him the previous year to get to, yeah, so – but I don't think that OKC team would have beat LeBron in him. But, you know, it was I don't understand why he wants to leave. That's just me. When you can get the most – like, these cats walking from 70-75 mil. Like, oh, well, he make it up on a back shooting. You cannot make up money that you were supposed to get already. Okay?
Right.
You can't.
Well, because that other money that you're going to get, you also would have gotten.
Yeah.
You just would have gotten more in the first place.
And they try to paint it that way like, oh, no, he can make it up with endorsements and everything. He really – it's not making it up. All right, because that's 75 you ain't got.
Right, he wants to get all of it.
Yeah.
And has the opportunity to get all of it. Again, that whatever happens there will happen there. What did happen over the weekend is that Anthony Davis is now a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, and I feel the same way about the Anthony Davis trade to the Lakers as I do about the prospect of the Hawks packaging picks to move up in the draft. If you believe that that's the difference, if you believe whether it's Anthony Davis, if Anthony Davis is that guy, and it's going to take you from where you were to a championship contender,
you do it.
Then there's no such thing as too much. And I saw a lot of people saying, oh, it was a lot. The Lakers gave up a lot.
That's well, why I, keep...
I mean, I guess
okay.
it was a lot of people.
Thank you. There it is right there. You gave up a lot of people, but did you give up a lot of talent? A lot of talent that is proven.
Sure.
A lot of talent that's done this in the league. No, you haven't. You gave away Lonzo Ball. He's had flashes, but like I said, I always will pump my kids up, and I love them more than anything, and I know that they love the sports and everything. But if you ain't that dude, I'm going to tell you that. But the way he talks about his kids, I'm talking about LeVar, it's like this dude, like Lonzo's a superstar, and he's not. And I don't think he has superstar potential. I think he'll be a solid point guard. He can't shoot free throws, can't stay healthy. And then Brandon Ingram, you know, the blood clots and everything, he showed flashes. But can he be that dude playing that wing position player? looking like, you know, looking like Snoop Dogg, they'd be frail. Just frail.
He's skinnier than Kevin Durant, which is a rare ability to be able to
have. I remember
have.
People were trying to compare him to Kevin Durant coming out of the draft.
Because he was skinny.
It's like, what?
Mainly why. And I guess he's a good scorer.
Yeah.
Not Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, not a lot of guys are. Yeah. But not a lot of guys are Anthony Davis either, which is why, look, I'm not here to say Lonzo Ball is or isn't a superstar. I don't know. Probably not. Doesn't look like he is yet, but I don't know. Maybe he will be. Brandon Ingram, same thing. Number 4 overall pick, whatever. There's like 5 guys in the NBA, maybe 10, that are franchise-changing difference makers. Anthony Davis, to me, is one of them. Maybe he isn't.
Yes, I
think he is.
Yes, he is.
Based on what I've seen from Anthony Davis,
yes, he is.
There are very few players in the NBA that can have a franchise-changing impact. And people would say, well, why didn't he do that in New Orleans then? Why didn't he change their franchise? Why didn't they win more when he was down there? Fair point.
Very fair.
Very fair point.
Very fair.
I don't know. I don't know why they didn't win more down there. Maybe he needs to be a number 2 because he absolutely is going to be the number 2 with LeBron James on the Lakers, and then they build around them, ideally with shooters. Last offseason,
we don't need no shooters. We got playmakers without LeBron.
Last year, they went playmakers with weird makeups.
Playmakers.
Like headcase playmakers. That was their strategy last year. This year, I would think that they'd maybe go a little bit more conventional and put shooters around those guys, right. But what do I know? The point is, if you can get a guy that you think changes your franchise, you do. And that's what the Hawks, I think, would be doing if they're moving up in the draft. If you have a guy identified, whether it's Cam Reddish, which is the rumor, right? That's the name we hear most consistently.
Yes, it is.
Tied to the Hawks. And maybe that's because they have pick 8, or maybe that's because they really believe in him and they've given that intent and they've given that impression to media. Our guy, Deshaun Tate, who's our draft expert, our college basketball expert, he's going to be a part of our draft coverage on Thursday night, has been telling us that he has heard from his guys close to the Hawks that Cam Reddish has been their target all along.
Okay, now, with that being said, because like you just said, at 8, because every time that you looked up a lot of times when you look up a mock draft, they have Cam going to the Hawks at 8.
At 8.
So are you telling me, because remember, didn't he just have surgery or something?
Yes.
He had some kind of injury.
I think it was an abdominal thing.
Yeah, he had some kind of injury. Yeah. So when you talk about that, I always say, if you want a guy, you go get him. Is Cam Reddish worth the 4th overall pick?
I don't know.
I really don't.
I don't. That's not a super great sports radio
take. No, because here's the thing. I talked to Deshaun, and I was like, why aren't people high on Cam like that? And he said, it's not about the talent. He got an NBA body, all that. Dude ain't got no dog in him. He ain't got no drive in him. And it's more or less, he's not self-motivated, I should say that. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to get on him in order for him to want to be great. And that's first of all, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
But then he's like, well, how old is he going to be with Lloyd Pierce?
I don't know.
Because Lloyd ain't having it.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? No.
Yeah, I mean, certain coaches can get that type of stuff out of players. Do you believe Lloyd Pierce is that type of coach? It seems like it.
I think you're talking about talent-wise. I think Cam has that. Yeah. But if you don't have that one little thing, you know, it's going to be hard. Like, all that skill he has, can he defend? It's like, okay.
We'll see. But again, that's supposed to be the thing that Lloyd Pierce can teach as well, although last year wasn't a great example of that. But we'll give him more time. Takes more time to develop that, he told us. But I don't know if it's Cam Reddish. Personally, this is not like the greatest hot take or anything like that. I genuinely don't care if it's Cam Reddish, if it's DeAndre Hunter, if it's Culver from Texas. I don't care.
I think it's I just want it
to be the guy that they believe in most can help them the best.
And I think it's between those three guys. I think those are the most logical, is because you need that dynamic wing. And you're talking about three dynamic wing type players. You got to have that on this squad, especially when you're talking about your point guard and your power forward, a big, whatever you want to call John Collins, aren't the best defenders.
No, they're not.
Yes.
No, they're not. But again, I think one of the best ways to articulate how much of a crapshoot it is was the question that Deshaun threw at us earlier in the bullpen, was if you had Zion in each of the last 6 drafts, like a guy, if Zion was available 4 years ago in the Karl-Anthony Towns draft or 3 years ago in the Ben Simmons draft, would Zion still have been the number 1 pick in those drafts? I don't know, probably. I think Zion goes over Ben Simmons, maybe not over Karl-Anthony Towns.
But do you think he goes over Ben Simmons if And I'm not talking about now Ben Simmons, we can't find out
right.
shoot. We're talking about when you didn't win.
Prospect Ben Simmons.
You take Zion?
There would have been people that wanted Ben Simmons over Zion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sure. But any one of those other guys you read out, this no comparison.
Right, but that's the point, is Ben Simmons was supposed to be this can't-miss prospect, and he's been good.
He's been really good.
But they might also trade him.
Yeah, he's been really good. Like,
he's been good, but look at the other number one picks. Markelle Fultz.
Garbage.
Disaster.
What the hell?
Anthony Bennett is out of the league.
He's from your school. What the hell did he do good?
What?
Markelle.
What did he do? Not a lot. He was a pretty good scorer. They won 9 games. I was never a believer in Markelle Fultz. Okay. Don't be mad at me. Right. He just went to a great school with excellent academics. We'll come back and get to Snit or no Snit. Whether or not Brian Snitker said what Wendy is going to tell us that he said. Coming up next. It's better if you hear it, okay? We'll do it next. Right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Wendy Adams back in studio.
I'm sorry, this is the perfect music for this segment. It's great.
I think it is. So we're debuting a new segment here. We kind of do this at 12:40.
Yes.
Right? We like to have a little bit more fun in this. We play Sports Jeopardy on Fridays at 12:40. Randy beat me again last Friday.
I sure did.
Even though he was dealing with a migraine. Still beat me. I'm coming for you this Friday.
Yeah, okay. I'm so scared.
You look scared. Look like a scared individual. Sometimes we play Did You Hear That?
Mm-hmm.
You read us a quote or play a doctored quote, and we have to determine who said it. We're going to do sort of a version of that, but today it's called Snit or No Snit. You're going to read a quote, right? And then we have to decide whether or not Brian Snitker, the manager of the Atlanta Braves, actually said it.
Yeah, because sometimes you just can't decipher whether it's him or not. But he's always a lot of fun. The starting pitcher goes out there and
goes 3 innings, and hopefully, next day I might go out there and get him.
I just need to determine how I should read these. Should I read them as like Brian Snitker?
Just read them as Wendy.
Okay. Are we doing it the same where your names are your buzzers?
Andy.
Oh, we got to do that? Oh, that's how we're doing it? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
See, now I get it.
Always compete.
I get it now.
Always compete, Randy.
Because I knew this before we became partners about you. You're real competitive mm-hmm. at everything.
Yeah.
So
everybody.
No, not really. But so this is why you want to do this, because this is the only thing you can beat me at. Okay.
But I haven't been able to beat you at any of this stuff.
That's true. Also,
we're gonna go golfing tomorrow, though.
You'll beat me there.
Get ready for that.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, y'all. I can't wait. All right, your first quote. I mean, just well becomes his own worst enemy there. Not sure what happens if he gets an out.
Randy.
But
or Snit.
That's definitely Brian Snitker.
Definitely.
I mean, just well, he kind of his own worst enemy there, because you don't know what might happen. He gets it out, and but it's just life of a closer.
Life of a closer.
You got one.
All right, I'm going to finish the entire quote before you say your name.
I think that's why you were surprised. Okay, I got you.
All right, here we go.
Feeding again.
All right, number two, Randy's up to an early 1-0 lead.
Half a lead.
I mean, we just kind of started going when we had the 30 and whatever, 33 days or whatever.
Andy, that definitely sounds like Brian Snitker.
I mean, it's just when we kind of started going when we had the 30 and whatever, 33 days or whatever. And
there we go.
Oh, my gosh. This is amazing.
What was he even talking about?
I don't know. Do we
30
do we
games
know?
In 33 days or something like that? Okay. All right.
Number three, it is all tied up. Well, we just went out there and played our best and got the job done. We will get out there and back at it tomorrow.
Randy, not Snit.
It's not Brian
Snit. Oh, Snicker. Nice. Nice work. Yeah. There wasn't enough whatever's in there in mumbling.
Yeah.
All right.
I got to know that for the next time it's a no Snicker. All right. Number four, doing what he does.
Or Snit all the way. Randy.
That's doing what he does.
Yeah, that's him all the way.
It doesn't even have to be a long quote.
No.
It's just a quote.
Nope.
All right, Randy's up 3-1. Andy, you're falling behind. You need to.
I understand how points work, Wendy. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Whoever has the most wins
yes,
at the end.
I understand. I understand how it works.
Look at him. He's starting to get them sweat beads on his forehead.
I'm not sweating.
No, Andy's just very mad right now. He's mad that he's down. Sorry. All right, number five. That was good. I mean this. Say this. Ha, tough team.
Andy, definitely Brian Snitker.
That was good. I mean, this tough team.
He just goes, tough team. sounds great.
That was good. I mean, this is a, say this tough team.
You know it. You know it's snit when the sentences are not even nearly complete.
He just be throwing words together.
Random insert of laughter. All right, it is now 3-2. Randy is still in the lead. He just went out there and did his job. Did what he needed to do, you know?
Randy, that is not him.
That is not Brian Snicker.
Randy's really good at the not snit ones.
It's really hard because they're so basic sometimes.
Yeah.
You don't know whether it was him or
I'll
not.
I'll be honest with you. I'm just like keeping odds. You know I count cards, right? So
Doing like the multiple choice test thing. Where it's like, all right, last time the answer was A, so this time it has to be B.
Yes.
Or I haven't picked C in a while. It's definitely C.
Right. There hasn't been a C in 10 answers. I got to pick that one.
Yes.
All right. Randy is in the lead 4-2. There are 4 questions left. So, Andy, you need to get this next one. All right. They don't operate that way. Their DNA isn't that.
Randy.
Andy.
Oh, that's Nick.
Definitely.
That's Nick.
Without question.
They don't operate that way. Their DNA isn't that.
They don't operate that way.
What's he talking about anyway?
He was talking about their team. I think that was
their Friday. DNA isn't that.
The Friday game against
DNA
the Phillies.
Isn't that.
Yeah.
We have a new game that you just made. What was Brian
Snicker
talking
about? What was he actually talking about?
What was Brian Snicker
talking about? For a bonus point, what was the context of the answer? All right. So Randy's dormy again. 3 questions left, and he's up by 3. I understand what that means, so you don't have to explain it to me.
It means you have to get the rest of the
I understand what it means.
If you want a chance to win.
Okay.
We put them to the test, that's for sure, trying to spread it out and keep everyone upright.
Randy. Oh, that's definitely not Schnick.
No, that is definitely.
Oh, that's not too coordinated.
Ha-ha!
Put them to the test. That's for sure.
I think
we're trying to spread it out. Keep everybody upright.
Why did you get a point? Because I missed. Oh, well, there's only one other answer, though, so never mind.
That was Snit. So I get my point.
All right.
Down by 2. 2 to go. I can tie it up.
Yeah.
2 left. It was a hot one out there, and the guys just kept grinding.
Randy. Oh, that's Schnick all day.
That is not Snit.
Oh, I missed the grinding, Schnick.
What did you say? What was the quote you made up?
It was a hot one guys just kept grinding.
He got me with the grinding.
Well played, Wendy.
No, that was Snick all day.
All right, down 1-1.
So basically, you're not earning this. I'm just giving it to you.
Well,
that's basically what it is.
We just like to chime in really fast.
Okay, no, but you're not winning anything. I'm giving you points.
Well, the other answer is.
That's what I'm saying. So
yes,
you're really not doing anything. You're not beating me. I'm beating myself.
All right, whatever you need to feel better about your last two answers.
No, you're going to feel better because you're going to be like, I beat Randy when we do Jeopardy. Yeah, I beat Randy. No, Randy lets you win.
Children, we're not going to play any more games. Good. This is how it's going to go.
All right, one more.
All right, last one. Andy can tie it up, and we can end up in a tie, which I don't like, but I'll do 11 next time. They just went out there and did their best, and I'm really proud of the way they played.
Andy, not Snit.
Not Snit. Boom!
Okay, he got a point.
Earned that one.
Woo-hoo.
It is tied.
Yeah, whatever.
At 5 all, so there's not going to be a winner.
I don't need no winner, because, I mean, like I said, I gave him 2 points, so...
Yeah.
Well, you didn't give.
No. I gave him 2 points.
I didn't get any wrong. You did.
You
couple
got
of them.
Some wrong.
Yeah, and you
got them right by saying the right answer.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
But I didn't get. Randy got a couple of them wrong, and I didn't. So it seems like maybe I should actually be the default winner.
No.
But if that's not what was
written
in the
because
rules,
you didn't earn it.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no written.
There's no written rules.
It's but baseball.
Now,
it's unwritten rules.
But
I
now
understand.
For the tiebreaker, what we're going to do is I'm going to have another quote ready, and then you're going to have to decipher what exactly he was talking about.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
In the 1 o'clock hour?
Or for the next time we play.
Oh, the next time we do it. Okay.
Look at him. Look at him like that. For the next hour? Bro, we still got work to do.
I want to know who the winner is before we leave the air at 2 o'clock today.
Dude. Relax.
Brian's a tiebreaker.
Relax. Okay? Yeah. Relax. Did Hugh leave one of his sweat rags? Your brow is beat up, man. You're so damn competitive.
We'll do it like soccer. So we'll add up all the totals when we do Snit or No Snit again.
So competitive.
We tied. 5-5. All right. Thank you, Wendy. Snit or No Snit? I think that one's coming back for another round. That was fun.
We got to gather some more snit, some snit clips.
Some extra snits.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get to what's trending at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. Paul Byrd going to join us at 1:20. Talk some Braves with Paul Byrd as well. And the Ask Me Anything at 1:40. You can get your questions in now if you'd like to on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. 1 o'clock hour straight ahead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Doing what he does.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.